Well, speaking of Alec Guinness, what's that film where he plays all the different characters? And he's
It's Kind Hearts
watching
and
all of them.
Kind Hearts and Coronets.
Need to put a mention in for that one.
Yeah, as soon as Joy mentioned Alec Guinness, that's the one I thought of as well.
While I'm here, can I put a word in for Jean de Florette and the sequel, Manon des Sources, French film with Gérald Depardieu. And it's about, basically, it's about how being a scheming peasant doesn't work out for you in the end. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. We're kind of talking about, films where the protagonist is like somebody to that we can relate to, that we can aspire, that we want things to work out for them in the end, because they're underprivileged, or they're a peasant, or they're working class. But then you get like Jean de Florette, where the peasant is actually quite evil and scheming. I don't know if, well, obviously that's not a socialist film, but it's kind of realistic. It's anyway, that's the end of what I've got to say. Thank you.
Yeah, good choice. Yeah, they were very good films. But also the sort of scheming peasant, it's kind of relates to what we've seen in other films about Parasite, I think that you mentioned. Where you've got these people in this really poor situation, absolutely poverty stricken, and the way they have to be so conniving to just to get by, and it becomes a way of life. The Yves Montand character is a real swine, isn't he? For some reason, I just suddenly thought of a 1970 film called The Rise and Rise of Michael Rimmer. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that, with Peter Cook. He basically murders his way to become Prime Minister. Again, probably not a lot of socialist content there, but quite a funny film.
Yeah, seen it. Very funny. Nothing socialist at all in
No.
it.
Darren, just chip in if you, because nobody else is in the queue.
Right. Just arising out of like the Requiem, what people have talked about. I think it's interesting how like a cluster of these films that are like from a particular era, particular years. We've talked a lot about sort of late 60s, early 70s films, for example. And I just think it's interesting, maybe just if people are at people have things to say about how, in some regards, just films reflect, wider society. And obviously, film business is all about making money, of course. And then they obviously see certain times where certain types of films will get greenlit and made. And there was obviously a time when, because I guess probably because of Easy Rider, I guess that was the first one that sort of was the signpost for like this counterculture market, if you like, which wasn't just in music, but it was also in films, So you had like Easy Rider, you had like Five Easy Pieces, you had you had all these new directors, Bogdanovich and Peter Fonda and De Palma and Scorsese. And then you obviously like shift to the 80s, like with these films, the same content, of course, they wouldn't have been made in like 1985, 1986, because you had Reaganomics, you had the triumphalism of Reagan, et cetera. And then in recent years, you have a film like Parasite being made, or there's an American film, I've yet to see it, but it's like considered incredibly political, and some people would say it's socialist, called Sorry to Bother You, which was made by Bootsy Collins, who's like this American rap artist, really good musician, who made this film maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. And you've got the film that's just been made about Fred Hampton. I mean, these films are being made now, Parasite, Fred Hampton, etc. These are political films, whether or not you think there's any socialist content in them. I mean, I think it's interesting to ask why certain periods or allow these films to be made, and why we sort of like flip back and forth, you know. That just arose out of like people discussing certain films.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, I think, Darren. I was kind of, trying to hint at that a bit earlier. I'm just wondering if there are any sorts of trends that you can perceive, or is it the case that in some eras, you know, filmmaking is more political than in other eras? Is there a sort of pendulum process going on, or is it just too random for that? You know, things just get made when they get made. Anyway, Mike?
On that, and it was the Oscars night only the other night, wasn't it? And there's been a bit of a shift in the sort of the politics, or the politics on the surface, at least, of the of Hollywood, in that, you know, there are many more calls for diversity now, and that's reflected in the films that are made and winning awards. So films which sort of celebrate prominent black figures which from the past which would otherwise be ignored, or films about oppression of black people in America, they're quite sort of trendy at the moment. And of course that's just turned into another source of profit. You know, if those films turn out to be profitable, then they'll be made, almost regardless of the ideology, although of course the ideology has to sort of tap into the zeitgeist. It's the big film corporations are trying to latch on to that kind of political sentiment and make some money out of it. So I think that's where sort of filmmaking seems to be now. There's lots of sort of surface, some would call it virtue signaling or tokenism. You know, I think it's a bit deeper than that. But yeah, I think that's where filmmaking is at the moment, to some extent.
Yeah, something that occurs to me on what you just said there, Mike, is that if the film makers, you know, want to tap into these kind of burning issues of the moment, these sort of hotly felt concerns, they can't do it by just ripping it off. They can't just do a pastiche, because people will just react with hostility. So there has to be a certain authenticity that goes into films. There's two at the moment on Michael Hampton. There's one, the other one is The Trial of the Chicago 10 that was up for an Oscar as well. They can't be completely sort of cash driven. There has to be some authenticity that goes into these things. So to some extent we can sort of rely on them. Dougie next.
One film I watched at the cinema when it came out was Mississippi Burning, really, with Gene Hackman and things. It was about civil rights people in America, you know, being killed by the right wings, sort of Ku Klux Klan types or whatever. But I mean, I remember seeing the SWP talking about that, and they didn't like it because it was a white guy that sorted the problem discovered who'd killed these civil rights people or whatever. But I thought Mississippi Burning was quite a good film, really.
Yeah, periodically there are films about civil rights, and sort of there was a clutch of films about slavery a couple of years ago, wasn't there? Paula, next.
Yeah, I agree that Mississippi Burning was a good film. Paddy, you do seem to be cutting out quite a bit. I don't know why that is, but I just thought I'd let you know.
Okay.
Can I put a word in for what I think is the best title of a film ever? The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, by Louis Buñuel. It's a Spanish film. I saw it like 30 years ago, I think. And I've only ever seen it once, but I remember at the time that I saw it, I thought, what a brilliant film. And my memory of it is that it was about members of the bourgeoisie having a dinner party and then turning around and basically killing each other. Has anyone else seen that film? Do you remember it?
Yeah, seen it, Paula. I have to confess, I found it unwatchable, but that's me.
Oh, well, I really liked it, so there you go.
Okay, Darren?
I'm just going to try and top Paula there. There's a film title, I'd love to see this film, and I've never been able to see it. It's from like the 1970s. It's called Praise Marx and Pass the Ammunition. It's a British film.
It's terrible. John,
is it? I want to see it. I'm desperate to see it. I can't see it. It's John Faw, who everybody knows as Inspector Morse, and Regan from The Sweeney. And he plays like this Leninist, I guess, in like late 60s London. And it's basically him like going to meetings and horizontal recruiting, I guess they call it in some circles, you know. And like, I've just, I guess at this point, because I've never seen it and I've wanted to see it for years. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's like, in my head, it's like the best film ever made. And I'm glad Steve stepped in to tell me that it wasn't, you know. But Praise Marx and Pass the Ammunition. I'd love to see it. I'm sure
it'd be worth watching just to be appalled, but there you go.
Yeah, that does sound quite fun. I'd quite like to see John Thor as a Leninist myself. Mike?
Paula, do I remember on a previous Discord session, I can't remember which one, but you recommended the film, is it called The Death of Stalin? A fairly recent one by Armando Iannucci. You know, we mentioned satirists earlier. But hopefully I've refreshed your memory, reminded you of it. Could you talk a bit about it again? Thanks.
Well, it was actually, funnily enough, after that conversation, it was on TV just shortly afterwards, and I watched it again. So I don't know, what can I say? It's not the best film ever. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Jean de Florette, you know, or 1900, or The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, or One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. But it's a very entertaining film. I mean, the actor is superb, and it's all about how, when Stalin died, the Communist Party leadership, they kept it a secret for about a week, I think. And they were just all really, and oh God, yeah. And what's his name was in it as well. Anyway, sorry, you've caught me on the spot there, because if I'd been asked to give some kind of pre-say of the film, I could have prepared something, but all I remember is it was actually entertaining. Yeah, Death of Stalin, and it does appear on television every now and then, so you don't need to like necessarily have Netflix or anything like that to catch it.
It sort of portrays the kind of vacuum left after a dictator's died, and they're all just headless chickens, aren't they?
So. It's damn good, it really is. And it's oh so satisfying, especially when they do away with Beria. I don't know if you remember that scene. Brilliant. I thought it was it's not a socialist film, but very, very, very watchable and very well made. And as Paul has said, brilliantly acted.
It was pretty horrific, though, Howard.
I didn't mind...
I remember we watched it.
I didn't mind seeing Beria horrifically killed, I have to say.
No, I know, but I remember we watched it together and it absolutely terrified me.
Okay.
It was Steve Buscemi, wasn't it? He was Brezhnev, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Very good he was, yeah.
What about Michael Palin was in it as well, wasn't
he? Oh, yes, he was brilliant, Michael Palin, yeah. Yes, it was.
He was Molotov.
Yeah, that's
Molotov.
Right.
It was so well acted. Yeah.
I was going to talk about Beria, but Howard obviously explained it. Another thing that struck me, like we're all scrambling all around looking for a socialist film, And it kind of, in a weird way, kind of reminds me of how we always say, well, if you want reforms for revolution, because when a revolutionary socialist working class grows in mass, the capitalist class is going to be thrown as reforms. And it just got me thinking, you know, if and when there's like a growing socialist working class, Hollywood is going to be throwing socialist films at us, because that is a new audience that they need to cater for, you know. So, you know, we need to recruit more members, make more socialists, and then maybe we'll get like a better version of Praise Marx and Pass the Ballot Box.
What a brilliant intervention there.
I've often suspected something similar, actually.
What a point, Darren, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really nice, positive thing that you've just said. On the other hand, maybe we could get extreme reactionary films, you know, like Robocop and all that crap.
That reminded me of another thing. Sorry, the Paddy was talking about The Matrix. I've seen it a long time ago, but the kind of sickly funny thing about The Matrix is it's been appropriated by the right. It's actually a lot of right-wingers, especially in America. You've heard the term to be red-pilled. You know, take the red pill and then you see through this sort of charade of, like, you know, of society. And this is, the right has actually appropriated a lot of the language and imagery from The Matrix. So, you know, you're right, you know, there is going to be, like, not just right-wing films, but right-wing people who are going to sort of take certain messages and, you know, take them for themselves, you know.
Yeah, imagine if we're getting into a situation where we're pre-revolutionary, the capitalist class will be funding and churning out all sorts of, I don't know, like war films and films about 9/11 and, you know, about terrorists, and, you know, we'll be getting a lot of propaganda that is not helpful. And maybe the reason why we get some good films, in inverted commas, you know, like politically sound films now, is because the capitalist class have nothing to fear. And certain sections are quite happy to fund, you know, the likes of Scorsese. But they might be less willing to do that in a pre-revolutionary situation.
I mean, I've often thought that in a revolutionary situation, it would be the capitalist class whose class unity would be really under pressure, because there would be a section of the capitalist class, as Darren says, who would see money to be made in selling, you know, either films or merchandise of some sort to a socialist revolutionary population. So that would really test their sort of class resolve in a way that you wouldn't see otherwise. I was going to say something else, but I've forgotten what it was. Mike Foster.
What kind of propaganda films you get in a pre-revolutionary situation that reminded me of the 1954 animated version of Animal Farm, which is I think it was the first full-length British animated movie, and you know, we all know the plot of Animal Farm, but the film changed the ending. It had the animals revolting again. But that film was part funded by the CIA. You've got Orwell there being, the message in his film tweaked by the CIA of all people. So, yeah, you know, I'm guessing you'd have sort of similar things again, you know, lefty texts being presented in a way which suits the ruling class. Yeah, cheers.
Okay. Thanks. I've just remembered what I was going to say. I was going to say that in a more revolutionary time, you'd have people making their own films through crowdfunding. I mean, nobody's mentioned The Ragged Trousers Philanthropist because there hasn't been a film of it, but there was a film in being planned through crowdfunding, but so far they haven't raised enough money to do it. So, but in a more revolutionary time, of course, they would be able to raise the money, and so you would get these films. So you wouldn't rely on the normal kind of, you know, Hollywood propaganda industry. People would be able to start, you know, doing their own thing, or at least, you know, raising the money to get alternative films done. Steve, I think next.
Yeah, this might be of interest to Darren, because that's the BFI, and apparently they've got a copy, but it says you're probably going to pay £20 to watch it. Yeah, so apparently you could watch it, anything to your heart's content in the BFI, providing you've got enough brass.
Yeah, cheers for that, Steve. I think I might be wrong. I think the only problem with that is I think you have to physically go to the building to watch it. You know, so unfortunately, I'm a wee bit far away, too far away to see it, unfortunately. But maybe one day. Also, just
check it out. I think you can do it online.
I'll definitely check it out. No, if they've changed the rules, then thank you. I'll need to set up a GoFundMe to get the £20, but that's great. Also, just briefly, just mention Braggart's House Philanthropist. Somebody just released a graphic novel of it. It's really good, you know. If you've got like kids or grandkids, or you just want to read it yourself, you know, I recommend it. It's by two sisters called the Rickard sisters, Rickard, and it just got released. If it wasn't last year, then it was early this year. You know, a graphic novel of. It's one of my favourite novels, Braggart's House Philanthropist. Thank you.
Well, let's hope they manage to raise the money to make the film.
Just on that, there is a film version of Trick on YouTube. And I thought it had been taken from a full film, but I'm obviously wrong. They obviously just filmed that bit. Yeah,
it's quite poor quality, though, I think, I seem to remember.
Yeah,
really could do with reshooting. So we've got Norman in the queue now. Norman.
Oh yes, thank you. Good evening. A film came to mind. Robert De Niro was one of the stars in it. I believe it was called Conspiracy. Basically, it was about what went on, you know, during the 50s. You know, the McCarthy era and the House Un-American Activities Committee. Richard Nixon was a prominent member of that. And as we all know, they had a field day, you know, persecuting actors, you know, during that time. They really targeted Hollywood, whom they felt was infested by reds and pinks. Basically, they were just liberals. There were a few people who were, in fact, card-carrying members of the Communist Party, for instance. Arthur Miller, who was married to Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe herself was, I believe, under, you know, investigation, you know, because of her association with him. I believe she did actually have, you know, centre-left views herself. But this film, you know, was really an eye-opener. I really didn't think the authorities went as far as they did. According to the film anyway, and I take it to be historically accurate, people's children were actually taken from them. It was believed that communists, you know, were unfit parents and they were indoctrinating their children, you know, with harmful anti-American ideology. This is the extent, you know, that the House Un-American Activities Committee went to, you know, during the 50s, actually, you know, forcibly removing children, you know, from their parents. It was a climate of pure paranoia, of course. And, you know, many actors, the actresses, you know, were targeted, like, as I said, Marilyn Monroe, Gregory Peck. I think Kirk Douglas was under investigation because of his role in Spartacus and some other films. I just wonder if any of you recall that film. I'm a wee bit vague about the details. It's been some years since I've seen it. I'd certainly like to see it again. I mean, it's probably not particularly, you know, well known, but for a film, you know, which really highlighted the climate of paranoia and persecution in America, I would say it was second to none.
Yeah, thanks, Norman. I don't know if it was called Conspiracy. I was just having a look at a list then.
I could be wrong, yeah.
Darren thinks it might be called Guilty by Suspicion. Does that sound like...
Ah, yes, that's it. That's
well done. Well done, Darren.
Thanks.
Okay. Steve?
There's another brilliant one about that period, which is The Front by Woody Allen, which just shows the lengths that people had to go to be able to get any work in Hollywood. Really, really funny film. And I think nearly the entire technical crew on it, and one of them, certainly Zero Mostel, they were all on the blacklist, the McCarthy blacklist. Really, really worth watching that film.
I'm a bit lost now. Darren?
Just to ask, I mean, talking about the blacklist, I've never seen it. Has anybody seen the film Salt of the Earth? It was a film made in, I think it was 52, 53, and it was basically all these filmmakers who'd been blacklisted from Hollywood. A lot of them actually came to Britain, funny enough, but these particular filmmakers went down to Mexico and they made this film called Salt of the Earth, which I think was about indigenous peasants revolting against, you know, landlords or whatever, you know, and it's like, just curious if anybody's seen it. It's quite a famous film because of the context in which it was made.
I guess that's a general no in that case. Nobody's seen that film.
I just added a link to the wiki page. It's actually 1954. So if anybody wants to check it out.
Yeah, it's on IMDb as well. 7.4 rating, it's pretty damn good.
If no one's got anything else to say, just on the subject of favourite films, not necessarily socialist ones, can I recommend Sunset Boulevard? Because it's such a wonderful homage to filmmaking and film actors. And it's very noirish. And to me, it was very modern for the time when it was made. It seems like a very adult film. And I think a lot of films nowadays are just all about, they're about entertainment, obviously, but on a very superficial level. And they're not really... engaging the audience as, I don't know, as adults. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but anyway, Sunset Boulevard is just such a brilliant film. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mike's in the queue.
One film we haven't mentioned yet is one that gets sort of raised every now and again, usually through a meme or a quick joke, and that's Monty Python's Life of Brian, which is worth a watch. And of course, you know, you've got the whole People's Front of Judea thing, which you know, sometimes crops up as a little political joke. Yeah, just thought I'd mention that. Another film I'd like to recommend is was made in 2000 and is called Together. It's a Swedish film set in the mid 70s about a commune, and it's a, you know, sort of comedy drama. It's nothing too serious, but yeah, it's got some interesting observations about communal living, and the sort of the message of the film, I suppose, is not to be too dogmatic or strict with the rules that the characters set for themselves. So it ends when the commune lightens up a bit and isn't so uptight about sort of sticking to strict sort of lefty ideology. So yeah, that's quite an entertaining film to watch. It's called Together. So it's a Swedish film, so I had to read the subtitles. I'd recommend that one. Cheers.
Okay, thanks, Mike. If you're going to mention Life of Brian, you've got to just mention Holy Grail, I think, in the same breath. I think the two stand together, really. don't think much of anything else they did, but those two are outstanding. Of course, Holy Grail's the one with the anarchist commune in it, you know, so it's too good just for that, really. Darren?
I guess nobody's mentioned Reds, and I guess why should they? You know, like John Warren Beatty playing John Reed's during the Russian Revolution, but just one of those like anorak facts that for some reason I accumulate about the party. Don't know if people remember it, but there's all these like old people talk, you know, like real life characters from that period talking at the start of the film and all the way through the film, and they're never mentioned by name. Do people remember that? You know, these talking heads, and then they move on to the actual drama of the film.
Well, I remember Reds being quite disappointing, and it all seemed to be about a romance and not much about.
They have these people. Sorry, they have these people talking about sort of John Reed and Louise Bryant because they knew them at the time, and I only discovered this last year. But one of the people featured was a guy, I can't remember his name offhand right now, but he was actually a founder member of the Our Party in America, Workers' Socialist Party of the United States, who actually was novelist, and I believe he was actually a screenwriter. He ended up leaving the party in the 20s, and he ended up he joined the party in New York. He was a British guy. Because they tried to deport him during the McCarthyite era. I wish I could remember his name, so I can't remember his name. They tried to deport him in the 40s because he never became naturalized. But he was a founder member of the World Socialist Party of the United States in 1916 in Detroit, and he ended up in New York. And he wrote a novel which was actually reviewed in the Standard, I think, in like the late 29 or 30. But he's actually one of these talking heads who's featured in Reds. And because they never named the talking heads, I can't work out which one it is. But he ended up going to California because he was a writer, and I believe he was a screenwriter as well. His wife was actually more famous than him. She was a writer as well. And he was involved with like the Communist Party in Hollywood, and the Communist Party in Hollywood in the 30s was actually quite a powerful player. You know, there was actually a lot of writers and directors and a few actors who, after, you know, the rise of fascism, followed the Communist Party. But that's just a wee trivia point, you know. I could mention that. There's another wee trivia point about My Beautiful Laundrette, but I might save that for another day.
Yeah, I remember Reds because I saw it when it first came out, and I remember, I've not seen it since, but I really, really didn't like it. And I think that's because it was so uncritical, you know, of the Russian Revolution. So I think that's why I didn't like it. I had my SPGB hat on at the time, and it just made me really annoyed. Anyway.
Okay, thanks. Dougie?
Yeah, I was in Manchester and they were filming Reds, right, you know, because the buildings around sort of Princes Street in Manchester were a bit like Boston in America. And I turned up in Manchester and there was a policeman dressed up in an American uniform, and they had this sort of water hydrant as well, right? You know, and they were filming part of Reds in Manchester, right? I mean, I saw Reds. I thought it was more of a love story than a political film, right? Although the talking heads, as Darren says, were interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks. Freddie?
Yeah, thanks. I'm somewhat surprised, perhaps could be enlightened, in that of all the films that we've spoken about, that nobody's yet mentioned Michael Moore films, which could be regarded as anti-capitalist solutions, etc. I think one of the films that springs to mind was Capitalism. A love story. I can't immediately remember another film I saw. This is some time back about invading countries, etc. And whilst his solution to of a socialist solution to it, as we would understand it and take it, doesn't come across clear. But certainly his critique of capitalism largely, I think we could recognise. I mean, what's other comrades' views about Michael Moore and some of the stuff that he's done? Bear in mind, I'm not suggesting that he's advocating the socialist case, but certainly his critique in parts of capitalism and what's happening. I would be interested to hear from other comrades. Thank you.
Yeah, I like Michael Moore films. I suppose, I mean, they're documentaries, aren't they? Really, rather than sort of movies as such. But yeah, I think he's good. I think he sometimes judged the worth of a filmmaker by how much they're sort of execrated by everybody else. And, you know, he comes in for some real stick from everybody. And the last thing he did that we actually showed on Discord, where he didn't film it, he produced it on the sort of environmental stitch-up. That was really good. But again, you know, it's always frustrating with Michael Moore that he takes his criticism so far and no further, you know, like everybody seems to.
Is it still on Discord, Paddy, that film that you mentioned about the environment?
No, because we can't put a film actually on Discord. We watched it kind of through Discord, but I think it's on. I don't know. I can't remember what it's called now, but it might be. It's probably on YouTube. Oh, except I think it was taken off YouTube by the filmmakers. I'll have to look. I'll have to hunt it out.
Okay.
Sometimes
thanks.
Sometimes if stuff's taken off YouTube, it ends up on a Daily Motion, similar kind of site. I've often found things on there which aren't on YouTube. So, same kind of setup as YouTube, if anyone hasn't heard of it. That's Daily Motion.
Sorry, Norman?
Oh, yeah, thank you. No, I just thought I would mention, thanks, Darren, for giving me the name of that film. I'd got my wires crossed. There was actually a film called Conspiracy, which incidentally is worth a watch too. It's actually, I can't remember the name of the actors now, but it's about the infamous Wannsee Conference, you know, in Berlin in 1942, where these top Nazis, including Reinhard Heydrich, I'm glad to say got his just desserts, you know, months later in the assassination plot with these two Czech guys. They were drawing up, you know, the blueprint for the final solution, how to kill Jews, you know, as efficiently as possible. That's what Conspiracy was about, now that I recall.
All right, thanks, Norman. Mind you, I suppose if we're going to get into films about how nasty the Nazis were, we'll just be here for weeks. the documentary I was thinking of was called Planet of the Humans. So I don't know, if you just go like Google it, you might be able to find it.
Paddy, have you been taking notes of all the films that have been mentioned? Because I'd really like to refer back.
Yeah, I've made a note. I probably didn't catch every single one, but I've made a note of all the ones. I just probably not the couple that people cited that they said were terrible. Although I don't know, it's all subjective, isn't it? But yeah, I've kind of made a list, which could at some point, like I say, appear on the website, maybe, or we could just sort of distribute it internally.
Yeah, because people have mentioned films and I've not heard of them, and I would like to check them out, but I can't remember what they were, so. Yeah, it'd be really good to have a list.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, well, I'll try and chase them all down and see if I can get links to them at some point. Or, I don't know, people who suggested... If you suggested films, or maybe not the most obvious ones that are easy to find, but sort of the more obscure ones, if you're able to find a sort of link for them, or, you know, sort of, you know, an IMDb link or something like that, that would be useful. Well, it's we've gone getting on for 9:10. Just thinking, nobody else is in the queue. Are we approaching a kind of natural conclusion, the grand finale of this little narrative?
Yes.
There is no denouement, as they say in the films. Yes, it's the end. So, all right, well, thanks for coming, everybody. And don't forget that Friday is going to be this interesting concept of the virtual rally. So for May Day, we can have a virtual rally on Friday. So hopefully we'll see you all and lots of other people there for Friday night's May Day rally.
Thanks, Paddy. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Paddy.